So we continue working with our mission statement in the ELCA, our slogan, God's work, our hands. And today the focus is God's work and how that shows how that lives in our priorities. So in our gospel today, Jesus says, you cannot serve God in money. Now, when we hear this story, it is really tempting to get anxious and assume that this is an all or nothing proposition, that we have to choose either God or money, and that we can't have both. It's what we call a false choice. Now see, if we're given a choice between being able to buy food and pay the mortgage, or doing this nebulous, undefined, serve God thing, I'm pretty sure what we're going to choose. At least I know what I'd choose, because see, I like to eat. I like to have a place to live. But it's not either or. It's both and. We are called into a balance. How do we use what we have to love God by loving others? Now, when we hear Jesus tell the rich guy to give away everything he has, part of us will assume, that's what the story is about. So that we should give away everything we have too, effectively impoverishing ourselves if we want to follow Jesus. So I want to be clear, that is not what this story is about. This story is about what is most important to the man in the story and to us. It's about what mattered most to him, what his priorities were. Because see, here was a guy who didn't own his stuff. It owned him. His money and power defined who he was. In the interchange between this man and Jesus, he says, I want to follow you. And he says, look, I've kept all the commandments. He thought faith was a matter of keeping commandments. Never occurred to him it was a matter of the heart, that it was about generosity. Now, of course, this story is not just about this rich guy who lived a long time ago and didn't want to let go of his stuff. It is also very much about us. What are your priorities? What motivates you in the things you do? Now, obviously, our priorities and values are what lie behind our actions, right? Jesus got at the rich guy's priorities by talking about the man's love of money, because in our world, we can't really talk about priorities without talking about money. Our priorities show in what we do with our money. But they don't only show there. Money is just a symbol of our work and our time and our power. That's all it is. Our priorities also show in all the other parts of our lives. The way we use our time. How we treat other people. Whether we are respectful, loving, generous, and kind. Now we know that our good intentions alone don't help anybody. We know that sympathy for the hungry doesn't feed them. And when we face these needs, sometimes we'll get all religious about it and say, well, God, how come you don't do something about it? Well, remember, that's the wrong direction. God has already given us everything we need to address each and every ill in the world. The question is whether we will. God's work, our hands. God's work, our priorities. Then at the end of the story, Jesus gives us these words that might seem kind of confusing, almost absurd. Jesus says, look, it is easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Now, on the surface, it sounds absolutely impossible. So we need some context. Here I go with history. Back then, every town had a wall around it to protect it from bad guys at night. And at night, the gates would be closed. And over the gate, there was a watchtower that stuck up that they called the needle, because it stuck up higher than the rest of the wall. And underneath the needle, there was a doorway that was about 3 feet tall. So if you were out working late or whatever you were doing and you come back after the gates are closed, you can still get into the town. But you got to go in on your hands and knees. Now, it gets better. Camels, unlike horses, can kind of crawl. You can actually fit a camel through the eye of a needle. But it's going to take you all night. You got to really, really want to get it in there. Okay? You got to take everything off its back. You have to get this camel on its knees while it spits at you and calls you names in camel languages. And then you can pull it through. What Jesus is saying is that it is absolutely not impossible for the rich to enter the kingdom of God or for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. It's just really hard. And you need to really, really want it. Now, we've all heard messages of guilt, browbeating, about time and money. And we all, especially in churches, and we all know exactly how that turns out. We feel like we're getting yelled at or shamed or guilted. So remember, we don't do that here. Instead, we like to take a different approach, what we call the Gimme Five philosophy. Remember that? That's how it works. We take the biblical standard of giving back to God a tenth of what we have. But by itself, that is a legalistic thing. We are Christians. We live by grace, not by law. So that means we don't get to go and selectively pick the laws we want that are convenient for us and support our cause while we ignore the others. See, that kind of thinking is kind of like saying, you know what, I'm going to drive 70 on the interstate, but I'm not going to drive 25 in town because I don't agree with that speed limit. Don't try that at home. If we want to choose the laws about tithing as a mandate, then we also have to choose all the other laws in the Old Testament. So that means, sorry to say, no more BLTs, no more ham, no more cheeseburgers, women can't cut your hair, and so forth. We don't use that 10% mandate because it's legalistic and it's imposed from the outside. It's not about the heart, it's about obedience. So we talk about giving 5% of our money, pre or post-tax, your choice, giving 5% for God's work, and 5 hours a week of loving God by loving others. And that just doesn't happen. That doesn't happen just through here. That happens in ways you are already doing. When you help out neighbors, elderly parents, coach a kids team, all the things we do. The important thing is our priorities, our motivation. Do we give our money and time out of obligation and guilt and fear? Or do we give our time and money out of joy and gratitude, generosity, and responsibility? Now remember, Gimme Five is not saying 5% of our money or 5 hours a week. It's both. Because the way we spend our time and money shows what our priorities are, what matters most for us. We don't live by laws. We live by grace. God's promise in Christ that we are set free and we're already redeemed. Now, you've heard me go on before about the difference in the way dogs are trained, right? Dogs that are trained by punishment, they always look afraid. They're afraid they're going to get yelled at or lit up with an electronic collar. While dogs that are trained with praise and reward, they're a lot happier. And I think they're actually a lot more fun to hang out with. Laws limit us by threats and fear. Jesus doesn't come to us with threats and fear. He comes to us with mercy, compassion, and love. That is where Jesus starts. So are we grateful for everything God has done for us? Or do the things that God has done for us get lost in all the other busyness of life? Now, to be clear, we don't need to impoverish ourselves to follow Jesus. We just need to be willing to set our priorities straight on living lives of love, mercy, and compassion. Lives of generosity and gratitude. Jesus calls us to live with what we might call an attitude of gratitude. And reflect on what you have in your life. The abundance that is so normal we don't even notice it all the time. How do you get to use what you have to show God's love to others? couple weeks ago, our children in Sunday school made hundreds of lunches for the homeless guys at Guest House. All told, it cost, I don't know, $80 or $90 just for the makings, okay, and their time. And because of that, homeless men, when they leave the homeless shelter, they get a lunch for the day, and they're grateful. One of our parents who dropped the lunches off was able to see the guys receiving a lunch when they left. I want to tell you, he saw the difference it makes. If you saw that picture in the bulletin of empty shelves at our food pantry, Sussex Outreach Service, that's a recent photo. That was Monday. It's Mother Hubbard's house right now. The shelves are bare. This is our pantry where people come all the time seeking hope. The words in our hymn today, our first hymn, about the woman kneeling at Jesus' feet weeping, reminded of a woman who came to the pantry this past year, and she said, through her tears, "I never thought I'd be coming here. But I've tried everything else, and everything else is gone." And she came to our place of ministry, and she got food, and she got assistance, and she got connections, and she got far more than she ever thought. And most of all, she was loved. You did that by supporting our pantry, every cent we give to Sussex Outreach Service, with gratitude and joy. How does that feel, huh? How does that feel to know that we get to break into people's lives where they hurt the most and bring healing and hope in the name of Christ? When our priorities are set that way, where we share as well as take care of our own, joy flows. It's amazing. Obviously, our priorities show in our actions. How is God calling you to bring miracles into the world with what you already do and with what you already have? I mean, we all know the world we live in says, me first, what's in it for me, everybody else on their own. If we follow Jesus, what should our priorities say? God's work. Our hands. God's work. And our priorities. What a joy.